This morning's Torah portion begins with Ki Tetzei L'Milchama, when you go out to war. So let's talk about war. First of all, for most of us, growing up in America, one thing that we're unaware of is its ubiquity. In other words, that there have been very few, if any, years in human history since the dawn of recorded time in which there were not wars. Small wars, large wars, world wars. Fighting is a constant in human history. In fact, Plato, who after all knew something about this, having grown up in a Greece that was shaped both by the Persian and the Peloponnesian War, said peace is a parenthesis. In other words, it's a little break between the constant reality of war. And we don't like to think that way, but if you were in ancient Israel, then you would realize that Israel was in fact designed in such a way as to make it difficult to escape war. Because if you ask yourself, why Israel? After all, there are lots of other appealing countries around that the Jews could have settled in and they would have done much better. The answer, of course, is that Israel is a land bridge between two massive and important ancient and modern places in the ancient world, Babylonia and Egypt. And if you're a bridge, conquering armies are going to move through you a lot. And when they do, you're going to be at war. In fact, one rabbi, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, argues that the reason that God chose Israel was because it is impossible to build an empire from Israel. You're bounded on all sides by natural breaks, and so God deliberately brought the Jews to a place where they couldn't aspire to be an imperial power to conquer those around them, but instead could just aspire to be at peace in their own land. That may or may not be true, but it certainly has proved to be true throughout history. That is, that Jerusalem, which in its very name is a city of peace, is a city that has had conquering armies again and again and again. And in fact, something that you should know and repeat, the only time in history that Jerusalem has been the capital of a sovereign state, or is that Israel has been a sovereign state, is under the Jewish people. When Jews did not occupy Israel and make it a state, it was always part of a larger empire. The Ottoman Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Roman Empire, there never was an independent state of Israel except under Jews. So war has shaped that area of the world as it has shaped every area of the world, including even, of course, our own, although America has been fortunate enough to escape war for most of its history. Don't forget that it was shaped in part by conquest. All you have to do is look up the wars between the settlers and the American Indians. And of course, we had a civil war that determined the fate of the country in the middle of the 19th century. All of this is a quick tour through the history of war. And so you ask yourself, what about all those years, though, when Israel was in exile, where Ki Tetzei L'Milchama didn't mean anything because Jews who lived in Eastern Europe or who lived in the Middle East under the sovereignty of other nations couldn't go out to war. So did they pass over this and not really pay attention? No, because it says Ki Tetzei L'Milchama El Oivecha, which means against your enemy, but Oivecha is in Hebrew singular or plural. Nitza, where are you? What? Well, oivechem or oivecha? One person. There, you see, that's why it's not because Nitza's daughter is getting married tomorrow that she's here. It's because I needed someone who teaches in our school to give me the grammar of the Hebrew. Oivecha is one, like lech lecha, right? The cha ending as opposed to chem is one. Now, it can mean plural here, and that may be how the Bible intends it, but all the interpreters over the years said, How do you go out to war against your own enemy? Your own enemy is where? Inside you. And what it means when it says go out to war against your enemy is your Yetzer Hara, your evil inclination. And that's why, say the commentators, the Torah goes on to say, and you take captives, because do you ever win against your own bad inclinations? Only temporarily, right? You take them captive, but tomorrow you wake up and there they are again. Exactly, you won. But wait till tomorrow, you'll see. It's always temporary. And so they said war, and the moral equivalent of war, what William James called the moral equivalent of war, is a constant of human life. And when you're not battling against someone else, and even when you are, you're always in a battle inside yourself. And so when you go out to war, really means every day. Every day, when, as a sort of huge mosaic of conflicting impulses that war inside you, you have to decide today, or at every minute, is this impulse the one that gets ascendancy, or is that one? And so it's not just advice for a conquering nation, but a metaphor for the battle that everyone does. And remember that the Torah always works on lots of different levels. It's not only speaking to a nation, it's also speaking to the human heart. So if we think about that, we realize that even though you might not like the martial metaphor, you may not like the idea of being at war with yourself, when something powerful, when a powerful impulse comes to you for good or bad and you try to resist it, that metaphor does in fact make a lot of sense, that people are at war with themselves. And it's a war that we fight every day, with ourselves, with our families, with our friends, with our community, that we always seek to win for goodness for today. But as the Torah teaches us long before the modern slogan, it's always one day at a time, right? And one battle at a time, and one attempt to be better than you might have been if you didn't, in fact, constantly struggle with all the different conflicting impulses inside of you. So let's bring everybody in.